And it is 10:10. Welcome to the official call, Coffee with Dakota, for June 15th, episode 92. You just got in under the wire there, Paula.
I'm talking fast.
And I was delaying a few seconds there, but that's okay. So I'll post the information in the private group for Coffee with Dakota and also the sources that, from which Paula has copied or learned, whatever the right word is for that. I've got some wonderful questions for you this morning, Paula. And before I do, I'd like to mention to our audience that please be sure and connect with us. If you'd like to be texted to remind you to come to the call, reach out to us on email or however you normally would reach out to us. Okay, so I'll give you an email address, help, H-E-L-P, at aq-iq.com, or whatever other way you know to reach out for us. And we'll be happy to add you to the text list, and you'll get texted within an hour of the start. And let's see. One of the fun things that we do at Coffee with Dakota is we've commissioned this lovely mug. It's a hot drink mug, and it has our branding on both sides. And each time that we do one of these episodes, we give one away, and we call that a mugging. And then we request that you send a picture of you with this lovely mug, and we call that your mug shot. So we like to share those mug shots on the individual episodes of Coffee with Dakota and on Facebook and our emails and sort of things like that, because we want to celebrate us and you together. And I think that's about all I have to say on that. Did you want to say anything before I throw you questions this morning, Paula?
No, I think just make sure send in your questions, guys. The bank tends to get low and the crowd's getting bigger. We need more questions, so send them in.
Yes, yes. Well, this first question is from a physician practice. One, not for you to answer this second, I'm going to answer it. One question that came up this week was, what types of coding do we address? And I told the person, medical coding, any kind of medical coding around the revenue cycle, whatever the questions are, our experts love to go delve into that. But anyway, this first question for today's episode is from Leanne. She is in a physician practice, and she's describing a case with a 55-year-old female that just had her first colonoscopy. Based on her age, she was due for a screening, but her insurance company sent her Cologuard test. That came back positive. So we all know that sometimes these tests do have false positives. The colonoscopy results were negative. There were no samples taken, and the patient was told to repeat it in 10 years. So the question is, can we bill 45378 with a 33 modifier using diagnosis codes V12.11, R19.5, K57.30, and K64.8? And she sent a picture of it.
Okay, so yeah, so let me just go on and explain just for the folks who aren't seeing it and don't have their manuals handy. Z1211 is a screening for malignant neoplasm of the colon. R19.5 is other fecal abnormalities. K5730 is diverticulosis of large intestine without perforation or abscess and without bleeding. And K64.8 is other hemorrhoids. So the CPT code 45378 is correct, but when we went out and did some research and found you know, based on a coding clinic article, modifier 33 would likely not be needed to indicate that preventive service. Coding clinic's second quarter 2018 states that if the patient had a Cologuard test, so it says exactly, Cologuard is a cancer screening test. So subsequent tests following a positive Cologuard, right or wrong, would be considered diagnostic, not screening. So as for the ICD-10 codes, based on that statement, I would not report Z1211. The coding clinic article does indicate that R19.5 for the positive test would be the first reported diagnosis. And I'll give you their question that was posed to coding clinic, just so you're aware. It says, a patient underwent a colonoscopy because of a positive Cologuard. The colonoscopy demonstrated no abnormal findings. This is appropriate diagnosis. Or what is the appropriate diagnosis for the encounter? And it's R19.5, other fecal abnormalities. And it goes in to explain what we already explained. So the correct codes would be 45378 with the diagnoses of R19.5, K57.30, and K64.8.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, so now we're going to move over to an inpatient rehab, and Kelly has a question. She says, I'm curious if you have any guidance on coding for U07.1. It seems that much of what has come out is relevant to short-term acute care hospitals and not to post-acute like LTAC and IRF. Mainly what I'm interested in is the usage of U07.1 as a principal diagnosis. My thinking is that although the patient may come to us still testing positive, remaining on isolation methods, we are treating them for something else, the RF, the AKI, the vent dependence, and the COVID is secondary. So your insight would be greatly appreciated.
Okay, so to the question, and so I have to qualify this. I presume we are speaking about cases that don't fall under the waivers that we're treating patients in the actual long-term setting, not for an acute setting. So, and of course, it all depends on what the physician states. And yes, that could include other diagnoses that are now primary but caused by COVID. Now, according to research, if you need to know how to go back, we have a whole free webinar we did on coding for COVID-19. And, you can access that through, I think you go to aqiq.com. And Pam, I don't know, you'll have to let them know if they can go to any of the Facebook or LinkedIn pages. But aqiq.com is probably the best place to go. And that is a free event. So now, according to research, you may see conditions in the IRF of like posterior reversible encephalopathy syndrome or critical illness myopathy or neuropathy following acute respiratory distress syndrome, as well as some others. But those are some of the very popular diagnoses that, the residual, if you will, even though the patient may still have, it's causing the residual that causes the patient to need to go to rehab. So for the principal could be that existing condition that is the chief reason for occasioning admission and the COVID sequenced secondary as the documentation directs. I hate I can't say on every case it's going to be that way, but for the most part, I think if the physicians are documenting in that manner, it's typically going to be that condition that's causing the residual, and it will be. But there will be some cases, I would expect, where COVID-19 might be the ADO and the principal as well. So it's just going to be a case-by-case base, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. And, yes, you can find us on social media, but it's going to link you back to aq-iq.com, so that's the best place to go. And then I've got one more. From an inpatient rehab. This one is from Anonymous. This person says that we've been directed that acute respiratory failure is reported with IGC 16. Is this true also for acute on chronic?
Oh, excellent question. That's one of the things that we see a lot in inpatient rehab audits. When a patient is admitted to rehabilitation for a chronic respiratory condition that is not COPD. Now remember, the word is chronic respiratory condition. You're going to report IGC 10.9 as appropriate. In this situation, the patient has a chronic condition, so they actually have the chronic condition, and it has an acute exacerbation. Therefore, 10.9, not 16, would be the most appropriate. I don't know why they said to do that as far as the acute respiratory condition is going to debility, but it is likely because with those acute respiratory conditions, you're only dealing with the residual so much. You might be dealing with a little bit of respiratory issues going along with it, but it's something that goes away. And the chronic one, they have chronic situations related to their lungs, and so therefore it's going to put that patient in a different group, which is going to put them into a different payment CMG as well. Rick.
Thank you.
Or CMG. There you go.
Well, we appreciate all your insight with that, Paula, and so it's been delightful. I've enjoyed listening to all these questions and answers, and now I've got one more thing to do, and that is to mug somebody. So I hope you were in at the beginning so you know what that means, but there were two non-anonymous questions today. One was from Leanne, and one was from Kelly, and one of these ladies are going to win a mug today from AQIQ. So I've written their names down on papers under my desk, and so let me pull one out and see who wins. Today's winner is Kelly. So I'll reach out to you, Kelly, and find out where to send your mug, and I will encourage everyone, send questions, and come back in 2 weeks on the 29th for episode 93. If you want to hear the insider portion, it's at 10 o'clock. The regular call starts at 10:10. And did you want to say anything else, Paul?
No. See you guys soon.